I'm going to do something today that I don't normally do, but God has put a burden on my heart. So before I start my sermon, I want to say that, you know, ever since I've been studying Nehemiah, and ever since I've been studying how Nehemiah is building the wall, God has put a burden on me that we too in this church have a wall. And that is that activity center. And the repairs that need to be done to that. You know, we didn't do anything for it last year. If we wait too much longer, you know, the repairs are going to become unobtainable. We still need approximately between $4,000 and $5,000 to get that center repaired. And God has put that burden that that is a wall, just like Nehemiah had. And that I'm going to challenge every one of us to pray about it. And if you can give in addition to what you already give to the church, I encourage you to do that in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So that we can get that repairs done, those repairs done before winter. Again, don't sacrifice what you already give to the church, but if you can give, even small amounts will help. You know, mark the gift, either the activity center or building fund. And I said, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, give what you can. Pray about it. That's my spiel for today. But I said, God has put that burden on my heart ever since I've been talking about Nehemiah. Today we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6. And when I first started looking at this, I wasn't sure what I was going to say, but the more I looked at it, the more things I found in it. So we're up to 9 lessons from chapter 6 of Nehemiah. You know, when God calls us to a task, you can bet that Satan will be there to try to stop us. And he will use every trick he has to keep us from completing God's task. How many of you, when you made your decision to follow Christ, had someone in your life give you a hard time about it? How many of you, when you've made a commitment to follow God and live for his purpose, that Satan tried to hinder us or stop us? Satan will stop at nothing because his sole purpose is to oppose God. In previous chapters, we have seen how Nehemiah has experienced just about every form of opposition imaginable in his effort to rebuild the walls. Satan has thrown at Nehemiah many different forms of opposition, but none of them have stopped Nehemiah from completing God's task. Satan does the same thing to us today, only many times in our experience, we do fall and stumble, and Satan succeeds in causing us to fall short of the life that God has called for us. God not only wants us to succeed like Nehemiah, but he provides all that we need to live successful Christian lives. In chapter 6, we will see that the wall is complete, less the gates, and the opposition will try more subtle attacks on Nehemiah. So let's go ahead and read Nehemiah chapter 6. When the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors of the gate, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt. Therefore, you are building the walls. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come let us meet together." I sent him this reply, "Nothing like that, nothing like what you are saying happened. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." One day I went to the house of Shimei, son of Deshelesh, the son of Methethepel, who was shut in at his house. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you by night, and they are coming to kill by night. They are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Nehoadish, and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechemaniah, son of Era, and his son Jehoham had married the daughter of Meshubalam, son of Barishakai. I'm scrambling the names. Moreover, they had kept reporting to me his good deeds and that telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. As we look at this chapter, we are going to see that there are 9 useful lessons that will help us in our spiritual walk. So let's look closely at the first 4 verses. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messages to them with this reply, "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent this same message, and each time I gave them the same reply. The first lesson we can learn is that we have a cunning adversary. Do you ever feel like you are facing forces that keep trying to pull you off your spiritual path and hamper your spiritual life, your spiritual growth? We see in this book that Nehemiah faced opposition at every step, and he was able to overcome all through his faith in God. His story also shows us an essential truth. Our adversary, Satan, is crafty. Just as Sanballat and Tobiah tried to harm Nehemiah through deception, our adversary, Satan, uses similar tactics on us today. Satan does not always attack us directly, but rather often seeks to lead us astray subtly. Remember, the most dangerous lies are those that are closest to the truth. We can see how Satan has used God's words, such as "God is love," and "judge not lest you be judged," to lead entire once strong biblical denominations to abandon God's word for society's ideals. So what can we do to protect ourselves from Satan's deception? We can study and know the word of God. By knowing scripture, we can discern and counter the lies that may come our way. So when we are facing situations that demand decisions, always turn to the Bible as your compass. Ask yourself, is this in line with the word of God? And if it isn't, steer clear. Lesson two, beware of detractors. In our world today, there are many distractions calling for our attention every second. And so it is easy for us to lose focus on our spiritual life. Nehemiah teaches us the importance of keeping our focus on our mission. We need to keep our focus on the work that God has called us to do. Nehemiah was called to build a physical wall. But aren't we all builders in a sense? Whether it's building our families, careers, ministries, or our spiritual growth, we have a God-given task. And with any important task, there will always come distractions that may try to pull us away. Satan is always ready to put distractions to draw us away from God's calling. Sometimes those distractions may even look good, like a new great job that would take you away from your ministry, or maybe a relationship that draws you away from God's principles, or maybe it's just fun and entertainment, things that are not wrong in themselves, but can keep us from fulfilling our calling from God. Nehemiah was offered a meeting. That meeting would have been some 20 miles away. That's where the plain of Ono is, which on the surface looks benign, but it would have taken him away from his task. And he discerned that their motives were evil, that they were planning on killing him. We need to prioritize our task and understand our God's given mission before making decisions. We need to ask ourselves, will this bring me closer or take me further away from God's from my purpose? Remember, all that glitters is not gold. Lesson number three, Satan rarely gives up. Nehemiah was approached four times to meet with his enemies. We'll see in the next section, actually a fifth time also. We also see that this in the book of Genesis with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39:10 says, she approached him day after day. In both of these cases, these men stood firm. Their resilience wasn't rooted in their own strength, but on their unwavering commitment to God. It is one thing to reject temptation once, but it is another to face it repeatedly and still remain true. This shows that Satan often tests our resistance, hoping that with time we might yield. Life is full of temptations, and some knock more than once. Expect Satan to try different challenges and temptations, and don't be discouraged if you have to face the same challenges or temptations over and over again. Be like a track athlete. Continue training in your spiritual disciplines and expect the hurdles. In moments of weakness, lean on God's grace and strength and surround yourself with a community that uplifts you and supports you. Remember, the race isn't to the swift, but to those who endure to the end. We see the same idea in the New Testament in James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Lesson 4. Stand firm against false accusations. We find this Nehemiah 6, 5 through 7. Nehemiah 5 through 7. Then the fifth time, Sambalot sent his aide to me with the same message. In his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations and Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. Have you ever felt wrongfully accused or misunderstood? Well, Nehemiah sure did. We live in a world where information spreads like wildfire, and reputations can be ruined overnight. People seem free to say anything in social media, whether it's true or not. Satan has a strategy to ruin your witness. If he can smear your name, he can destroy your effectiveness in your ministry. After all, when someone you've looked up to or believed in falls from grace, doesn't it shake your faith just a little bit? Satan knows this, and that is why he is keen on smearing our names, especially those in leadership. We've all seen headlines or posts about other believers caught up in controversies, and it doesn't matter if it's true or not, these stories spread again like wildfire. Satan doesn't need truth. A believable lie will work just as well. So how do we defend ourselves against these kinds of attacks? First, lead a life above reproach. Avoid even the appearance of evil. Secondly, stand firm when falsely accused. Remember Nehemiah in 6:13 and how when adversaries schemed to discredit him, he drew his strength from God, knowing that truth will prevail and God's strength can get us through anything. Lesson 5, recognize and deny fear based on manipulation. This is found in Nehemiah 6:8-9. I sent him this reply, "Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak to complete the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." Fear is crippling. It has a way of magnifying our insecurities and making mountains out of molehills. Satan's aim is to incite fear. Satan will always highlight our weaknesses, trying to shift our focus from Jesus to the roaring storm of life, as seen in the story of Peter walking on water. When he was focused on Jesus, it didn't matter that the storm was all around. But when he took his eyes off Christ, he sunk into the sea. The same is true for us. Nehemiah's prayer in verse 9 serves as a beacon of hope. It is a heartfelt plea for strength. When fear looms large, instead of being overwhelmed, just remember that God is on our side. Satan has many tactics he will use: intimidation, deception, rumor. He has a complete arsenal, but so do we. We are armed with the Word of God. We have the support of fellow believers, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to give us God's peace and to help us overcome any situation. When faced with fear, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Meditate on scripture that affirms God's power and love. Don't let fear anchor you down. Let faith prop you up. Lesson 6, we need a discerning spirit. Nehemiah 6:10-13. One day I went to the house of Shimei, son of Delai, the son of I can't pronounce the names, who was shut up at his home. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had been prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sambalot had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. In a world teeming with voices claiming to be the truth, discernment is not only essential, it's a lifeline. Nehemiah's interaction in the temple is a case in study of discernment. While the proposal from the trusted prophet sounded holy, Nehemiah discerned it as a trap. Why would a true prophet call him away from God's work on the wall? Why would a true prophet of God want Nehemiah to hide like a coward instead of trusting in God? And why would a true prophet of God, why would a true prophet of God ask him to go into the temple when only priests were allowed in the temple? Numbers 10, appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary is to be put to death. Not all spiritual leaders are genuine. Just because someone speaks spiritual lingo doesn't mean they're from God. Some may have ulterior motives. Some are hired servants of Satan. We need to be like the Bereans, who didn't just accept teaching, but checked them out with Scripture in Acts 17, verse 11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We should be like the Bereans in our life. When we hear something or someone tells us something, we should check it out with Scripture. If it doesn't match Scripture, then it's not from God. Seek God in prayer, asking for your discernment. Surround yourself with godly counsel and delve deep into the Scriptures. In a world with many voices, let God's word be your guiding voice. Lesson 7, persevere in your God-given task. Nehemiah 6, 15 through 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. When all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Life is full of all kinds of tasks, assignments, and roles for us, but there are some that are divinely orchestrated. We all have God-given tasks, and like any mission, they come with their set of challenges. Nehemiah's story is a testament to the power of perseverance. Despite opposition, he stayed the course, and the walls of Jerusalem were built in 52 days. I've been thinking about that a lot. The fact that they had to haul the rubble away and then build the walls. It's miraculous that they could get it done in 52 days. The sheer determination and unwavering faith in God he exhibited should be an example to all of us. We all have our walls to build. Be it personal goals or spiritual assignments. There will be distractors and obstacles, but just remember the story of Nehemiah. Your perseverance will not only accomplish the task, but will also serve as a testimony to others. When you feel like giving up, remember what Nehemiah did and turn to God for strength. Lesson 8, understanding the influence of the progress of God's work has on your enemies. Nehemiah 6, 16. Nehemiah's adversaries were dismayed when they saw the wall was finished. They could see that God's hand was behind the project's success. When God's work prospers, it is evident, and this very progress intimidates our adversary. As you work on your God-given task and start seeing progress, be prepared for increased opposition. But don't let this deter you. Instead, let it be a reminder that the same God who started the good work in you will see it to completion. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who begins a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Whenever you notice adversaries reacting, take a moment to thank God for the obvious progress. Lesson 9. Be aware of alliances between enemies and insiders. Nehemiah 6:17-19. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehoiakim had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds, then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Tobiah at some point had married the daughter of one of the Jewish nobles, and his son had married another one. And now, because he was related to these nobles and part of their family, many were saying that he really wasn't that bad after all. So many of the nobles had regular social contact with Tobiah, inviting him to parties, exchanging correspondence, and reporting everything that Nehemiah did. These nobles tried to convince Nehemiah that he really wasn't such a bad guy. Sure, he mocked and ridiculed and accused them of rebelling against the king in chapter 2. And in chapter 4, he belittled the work on the wall, and when that didn't work, raised an army to attack and kill those working on the wall. Here in chapter 6, he bribed a prophet of God to make Nehemiah look like a coward by hiding in the temple, which at the same time would have defiled the temple, making Nehemiah sin against God. These nobles were saying, sure, he had done all those things, but really he's a nice guy. I think we all know this. Betrayal hurts more so when they come from you when you least expect it. Nehemiah experienced this firsthand when he learned about the alliances between his adversaries and some insiders. It is distressing to realize that those within your circle might be in league with your adversaries. Such alliances can be more damaging than external threats, because they exploit inside information. We need to be vigilant. While it is essential to trust, it is equally critical to exercise discernment. Not everyone who walks with you shares your vision or has your best interests at heart. Remember Jesus and Judas. We need to regularly pray for discernment to recognize and address any such alliances. When we are faced with betrayal, lean on God for strength and wisdom. Make sure, despite any betrayal, that you keep up with whatever God has assigned you to do. Never allow even betrayers to stop the work that God has given you. In conclusion, in this chapter, Nehemiah's experiences and the lessons we can learn from them serve as a beacon, lighting our path as we experience our unique challenges. By understanding and using Nehemiah's wisdom, we can equip ourselves to face adversaries. Remember, every challenge is an opportunity for growth. And with God on our side, victory is not just possible, it's guaranteed. I encourage you to ensure that you apply these lessons and the ones revealed to you by the Holy Spirit to your own life. May God's grace be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Help us to see these lessons from Nehemiah, Lord. Help us to see how they apply to our lives. Help us to take strength in the fact that no matter what the adversity Nehemiah faced, he remained faithful to you, Lord, and trusted in you and called upon you for strength. Help us to do the same thing. We all will face adversaries. We will all face different challenges. But Lord, we know that you are a mighty God. You are the God that holds us in his hands, and that no adversary can defeat you. They may be able to defeat us, but when we rely on you, we know that our victory is assured because it's your victory. Help us to walk our lives in a way that brings you honor and glory in everything we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.